remember who I was. I was lost, I was blind, I was running out of time. Sin separated, the bridge was far too wide. But from the far side of the chasm, you held me in your sight. So you made a way across the great divide. Left behind heaven's throne to build it here inside. And there at the cross, you paid the debt I owed. Broke my chains, freed my soul. For the first time I had hope. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. Thank you, Jesus, it has washed me white. Thank you, Jesus, you have saved my life. Brought me from the darkness into glorious light. You took my place, laid inside my tomb of sin. You were buried for 3 days, but then you walked right out again. And now death has no sting, and life has no end. For I have been transformed by the blood of the Lamb. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. Thank you, Jesus, it has washed me white. Thank you, Jesus, you have saved my life. Brought me from the darkness into glorious light. There is nothing stronger than the wonder-working power of the blood. The blood that calls us sons and daughters. We are ransomed by our Father through the blood. Was the blood applied? Glory to His name.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. What you know, we think about and we talk about salvation and what it means for eternity, right? Amen. But really what it means now. Saved my life. Yeah, obviously we couldn't have eternity without Christ, but what He's done for us now is listen, I don't want to preach the song, but let me I just want to give a few announcements, and then the ladies are going to sing another song before the message. In your bulletin there's a few things. We've got a ladies' luncheon coming up on April 13th, so ladies, come. It's going to be a great time of food, fun, fellowship, games. Who knows what's going to happen that during that time. The men, at that same time, are going to be gone over in Tampa, are going to a men's advance. And so men are going to be, while the men are away, the women are going to play. I guess, I don't know what that's, they're going to have a time, and so they're going to have some fun. Come and be a part of that, and you'll enjoy that. And you say, well, I don't know what's going on. Is that just for church members? That's for, the qualification is to be a lady. Okay, no men can come to that one. And so we want you to come and be a part of that. And for the 20s and 30s, have coming up mini golf next Saturday. So next Saturday, if you're here and you like, if you want to sign up for that, just sign up to let us know. You'll pay out there at the event. I think, is that right, brother? Yeah. And so we got that. And so this week here, I guess that's going to be on Saturday. It's brother Eddie Berghammer's birthday. On that day, out there. So make sure y'all embarrass him real good and sing some happy birthday out there for him. So we're glad to do that. We got a lot of things coming up. The Lord has been good to us. We got to see a little bit of the lights out there. We've had some electrical repairs this week, and in some work, the light got, it's going to have to get fixed. So that one light's out, but we have the light of Jesus. And so anyhow, so some other things going on around here. We've seen the some different things, new signs going to be coming up. Lord's been good to us. Amen. And so we want to take care of his house in a way that would honor and glorify him. And so we're just excited to have you here this morning. And I'm going to get out the way and let the girls sing one more song.
Nothing. What can make try to hide this precious blood that gave me life. But in 3 days, He breathed again and rose to stand in my defense.
Turn our Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 16. I do want to remind us tonight we'll be observing communion tonight in the evening service, and just want to, and also Kara, our missionary to Honduras, that's here this week. She's leaving tomorrow, going back to Honduras. So just had a little bit, but tonight she's going to be giving her report about what she's been doing the past since the last time she was with us at Christmas time, and so. We'll look forward to that. Matthew chapter 16 this morning. As soon as you find your place there, if you stand together with me, Matthew 16 and verse 13. I'm going to read just a few verses to get us started here this morning. Matthew 16 and verse 13. Bible says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that Thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Let's pray together this morning. Father, we are thankful, Lord, that we can be together in your house this morning. Lord, I do pray that you would come and meet with us, Lord. We come as a needy people, Lord, needing to hear from you and that the Spirit of God might have free reign in our hearts. Lord, give us ears to hear, Lord, we might receive from your word that message that you want to affect our lives, Lord, that we might be less like us and more like you. Lord, to be changed into the image of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray this morning you would do a work in our midst, and we'll give you the thanks, the praise, and the glory for it all now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. So, number one, this question, who is He? Who is He? So, this is the one question that all of eternity balances on. Who is He? Who is Jesus? The first question He asked the apostles that day is, who do the people say that I am? Who are they saying that I am? They thought, some thought that maybe He was John the Baptist, resurrected, right? It's interesting here. They thought that He might be the resurrected John the Baptist, but later on when He said He was going to rise again, they thought it was blasphemy. Isn't it kind of interesting when you kind of see people? Sometimes people say things that they think make sense, right? And later on, but while they're saying it, you're looking at them all crazy like, that doesn't make sense. And later on, sometimes they never get it. The bad part is sometimes we're the they. Anyhow, they thought He might be Elijah. One who was the miracle worker of the Old Testament, right? The forerunner of the Messiah was to be like Elijah, is what the Scripture tells us, which was actually referring to John the Baptist in that phrase. So others thought that He might be Jeremiah, the prophet of doom, right? The foretelling the coming judgment of God.
right? They you know, or one of the other prophets. Maybe some thought he was Isaiah, whom Jesus often quoted from, and whose prophecies Jesus fulfilled, that of the prophet Isaiah. They thought he might have been a lot of different people. They said, well, it could be this one, it could be this one, it could be that one. And then Jesus asked his question in this very personal way. He said, but whom do you say that I am? You know, it's easy when we talk about things corporately. The we, right? Or the they. Well, they say, you know who the they is? We don't really have to identify who the they is, right? They is a lot of time Google. They said, who's Google isn't even a thing. Google isn't even anybody. It's a search, right? And we're like, they said, you know, and so, yeah, they said, and like, who is this? Well, okay, it was like the first ad answer on Google, you know. And so, but here Jesus gets a little personal with him. He says, not just this they. Here's the other thing we'll do a lot of times. Well, everybody says this, right? You say, really? Who all said that? Well, like me and my sister, you know. You know, everybody. You know, this kind of thing. And so Jesus gets a little personal with them right here. He said, listen, who do ye? In the old English, we use in the King James, the old English, the ye and the are two different words. When you say the, it's talking about this different ones. And he says, he's talking about to them. Now he's getting it to them specifically. Right? He's talking to them specifically. He said, who do you say I am? Not these people out there. Hey, listen, he's not talking about what does society say, right? Hey, not what do your friends say, not what does your family say, not what's going on around everyone else that's going around here, but any other say. He says, who do you say that I am? So there's one apostle that is well known for speaking up and speaking out first. Anybody know who that is? Peter. Yeah, Peter. Anybody knows much about the Bible, you know that was Peter. I hated that sometimes I identify with Peter. It's embarrassing. But he was, you know, there's a lot of good things he did too. So if you identify with him, you know, anyhow. What's bad is when you only identify with his bad characteristics. But he's always that kind of way. He always, we find several times in the scripture him running his mouth and Jesus having to straighten him out for his error, right? He was always, you know, I will die with you. Will you though? Yeah, I'll die with you. Well, you're going to deny me thrice, right? Kind of thing. But this time, Peter gets it right. Look at verse 16 now. And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. So the second thing is this. Now you're hearing from God. This is what the Lord... Listen, what Peter has now claimed isn't what he really felt in his heart. I just really feel this. You know, we can sometimes use this terminology. I just really feel something. Hey, that's okay if you're talking about a sickness. I don't feel right. That's okay if you're talking, you know, you're watching some, you know, movie and you know, you feel, you know, some emotion or somebody tells you a story and you're... But when we're talking about this thing of truth, we don't go by a feeling. It just feels true. What does true feel like? I don't know. Anyhow, listen, this isn't some good idea. It wasn't some urge or just some simple feeling. God had revealed this to him, is what Jesus said. My Father, hey listen, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, but my Father which is in heaven. This was the moment that Jesus could now begin to reveal what must next take place. Listen, they didn't really quite completely understand that he was the Messiah. They had seen, yeah, we think maybe, and there's some things going on, and he's a great prophet. Maybe he's one of these others as they talked about. But now something happened that they understood that he was the Messiah. So now it was time for him to begin to talk about what was going to take place next. Look at verse 18. He says, "And I say unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ." The Lord said, now I can begin to explain what's going to happen to me. They were told not to reveal it yet. That's a tough thing. It's a tough thing. The whole nation of Israel had been waiting for the coming Messiah. And now they realize it's the Messiah. You are the Messiah. And Jesus said, yes, you're right. My Father revealed it to you. And he said, but by the way, don't tell anybody about it yet. Whew, that's a tough task to do. They were told not to reveal it so that Jesus could continue to move freely about. He still had some work to do. Took them. We're probably up to about a year into the ministry before they really got a hold of who Jesus really was. He said, I want to continue to move freely for a while, and so we're going to have to keep this down, because as soon as they got out, they wanted to kill him. Look at verse 21. He says, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. The third thing I want to mention this morning is this: his ministry revealed. So now that they understood that he was the Messiah, he could explain the process of paying for the sins of the world. You see, listen, prior to this, there was just still kind of, okay, you're the Messiah, how is all this going to work, what's it going to look like? And so now that they understood he was the Messiah, he began this process of saying, I'm going to have to go and be killed and at the hands of these men and rise again 3 days later. He begins to talk about this. Verse 22, then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. Remember how I told you about that apostle that was quick to speak up? Peter. Bless his heart, what we'd say. Quickly, after revealing that he was the Christ, is now rebuking the Messiah, the very Son of God. He begins to rebuke him. He took him. I don't know what he says. It says he took him and rebuked him. I don't know exactly what that looked like. But I almost see him grabbing him up. I don't think he did that. But some kind of way he said, no, you're not. This isn't going to happen. This isn't going to. Listen, he began this kind of way. Look at verse 23. But he turned and said unto him, Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Now that escalated quickly. I mean, he's just saying, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. Next he's saying, get behind me, Satan. I mean, there was other things said, no doubt. We just got the things that the Bible gives us here. But in that quick matter of time, he goes, and all of a sudden, now he's saying this. Something happened here to excite the situation, that Jesus changed his tone with him. Jesus giving his life on the cross, then being raised again the third day, wasn't one of the alternative ways of salvation. But listen to what I'm saying to you this morning. Jesus dying on the cross, what he said he was going to do, be killed by these men. And then he was going to be taken and 3 days later rise again. And Peter said, no, forbidden. I'm not going to let that happen. Jesus said, this isn't just a way. It's the only way. It's the only way to pay for the sins that have separated us from God. Peter was literally saying this. I have another way to salvation that avoids your death. See, this is what Peter was saying to the Messiah. He said, I've got another way. Other than you dying, I don't want you to die. We're gonna preserve your life. We're gonna make it another way to get to salvation without that happening, without having to go through this. Listen, this is what many people attempt to do today. Go around the sacrifice of Jesus. They'll go around it altogether by trusting in their own works, or some sacraments that they do, or any other thing but the work of Christ alone. Can I tell you, if there was any other way, don't you think that would have been the way that would have been chosen by God the Father? I mean, the Bible tells us that this is the love of God that He would send His Son to this world. I mean, a father that loved his son, and we talk about that's the way, that's what's showing love. If there was another way, a father that loved his son would have gone that other way. But this is the only way. But Peter, the Lord's response to Peter is really this. This is the thinking of Satan. It's really what he's saying. He's not saying that Satan, Peter, became Satan. He was saying, what you're talking about, get behind me, Satan. You're thinking the way that the devil, you're thinking the enemy of God. By the way, Satan isn't the enemy of God. He's the enemy of God's people. God doesn't have an enemy. Any more than an ant is my enemy, right? You know what I'm saying? And now if it's a fire ant, okay, it's a different story. But an ant is my, you know, it's just, okay, move on. Matter of fact, I didn't even think about it. We moved it. Matter of fact, accidentally. That's like saying, you know, this isn't like good and evil is in this battle. No, the good and evil is between Satan is attempting us to draw us away from our God. So he said, Peter, it's the way of Satan. Listen, to circumvent God's plan by doing it our way will never work. It'll never work. Look at verse 24 here. Then Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Listen, I want us to look at this again. Verse 24, look at this. If you don't have your Bible there, look at somebody there. Listen well, because this is really the message. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. The Lord was making it clear to his apostles that day, as well as he preserved it for us today. It's really this. The only way to the Father is through the Son. The only way to the Father is through the Son. There's no back doors. There's no other way to get there. Okay? The only way. The second thing is this. Denying ourselves, meaning really denying doing it my way. Denying myself doesn't mean I think of myself as worthless. Doesn't mean as I think of myself as nothing. God thinks of us as more than nothing. He thinks of us as valuable enough to send His Son to die for the sins of man. So it's not denying ourselves doesn't make us valueless. It says I don't have within me what it's going to take. I can't be good enough. Nothing that I'm doing my own way is going to get there. And then the third thing he says is take up the cross. You know, there's going to be some resistance to following Christ. Amen? If anybody here has been saved and you begin living for the Lord at all, you're going to find there's some resistance for living for the Lord. I mean, isn't it interesting how we can be our own resistance? The flesh draws us away, and we watch, and that sometimes there's family members that wanted you to get to be a better. I wish, you know, I've seen people that I wish they would be a more religious person. You know, they wanted you to be religious but not saved, right? Man, you were more fun before you started going to church. Well, you wanted me to go to church, yeah, but not that much. Right? And so there starts to become something different, and God's doing something in our lives, and there becomes this resistance that you're going to take up the cross. I think about it this way. It's really this. Do you believe it enough to endure some challenge to your faith? Brother, we're getting a lot of feedback up here. I'm not sure what that is, but it's, I don't know if y'all hear that, but it's weirding me out. Okay. Listen, there's no relationship on earth that doesn't have some difficulties. Amen? There's no relationship that you're ever going to get in. Nobody, not even your own kid. We said, not even, especially your own kid. You know what I mean? I mean, you know, not your parents, not your spouse, not your friends. If you have a friend, yeah, we never get in fight. We don't know each other. Y'all keep it very surface level, right? We get along great all the time. Yeah, y'all don't know each other. You know what I'm saying? And so there's a challenge in every relationship. But here's the thing: do you believe it enough to endure the challenge, to endure the cross? But then the last thing, there were number four on that. He said, but following Him is the only way. Look at verse 25. He says, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Look, if we will only seek the Lord in our own personal way, the way that I think, I just don't believe that stuff. I think if I'm just good enough, you know, my good outweighs my bad. I'm just a better person more than, you know. If I'm figuring out, I don't really care what the Bible says. I think God's going to be whatever I want Him to be. Okay? So this is what He says. If you think you're going to save your life your way, in your own personal way, it's akin to saving yourself. Keeping your life for your own purpose. You know, he says this, whosoever will save his life is going to lose it. If you get this idea that I'm going to take my life and I'm going to do something with it the way I want to do it, the way I want to deal with it, the way I want to, I'm going to handle it my way. Listen, folks, can I just say this here this morning? We've all thought this way. This isn't some scripture given out to those stubborn people. We're all stubborn people. At one point, we all had to deal with this truth. At one point, we all had to deal with this thing of saying, I don't know what's, I just don't think I have to do it that way. I can remember when I first met my wife, I think that Bible's just written by a bunch of men. You know what? So what do you mean you think? I said, okay, maybe not. You know, I was just trying to get married. You know, and so, so sometimes what happens is we start somewhere, we get a little stubborn, like, yeah, whatever, and we don't know these things, and I just don't think it's that way. I think just, you know, the way I've always thought, you know, the way I always thought is what I watched off TV, the Ten Commandments, remember the Ten, you know, some of these old movies they'd watch, and to me, that was the only Bible truth I knew. Touched by an Angel, we used to watch that when I was a kid. I mean, that has nothing to do with the Bible at all, but I didn't know that. I grew up a heathen, really, and that was my Bible. You see, wow, you know, and so when I began to hear truth and began to hear some, and I thought that's nothing like I'd heard, and my way caused me to I could just worship God out on the lake, looking at His creation. That's a lot better than getting up early, dressing up, going to church, right? I'm saying that's the way I was thinking. I'm just saying that's where I was, this kind of place. And we'll do this kind of thing. We'll get ourselves in this kind of place where I'm going to do it my way, because this is what He's saying. Listen, whosoever will save his life doing it his own way is going to lose it. What a disappointing time it will be for so many that feel like I'm doing enough. So many that just said, you know, I just really feel like this is good. I've seen people. I've dealt with a lot of people that you'll just show them the Word of God. Here's what God said, not what my take on it, just what it says. And they'll say, "Well, I just think I'm going to just keep doing it my way. I thought, not me, but this, and like, yeah, I'm just going to keep doing it my way. I thought, man, I don't know, but one day, sometimes no matter what we give, it still comes back like, I'm just going to keep doing it my way. Can I just say this? We can never do good enough to merit God's favor. There's never enough that God's going to say, wow, you're amazing. I'm so glad I got to meet you. Said God to no one ever, right? We're never going to do good enough. Listen, whosoever, though, will lose his life, turning from doing it my way, surrendering his will, surrendering my pride, surrendering my arrogancy, that person that loses his life, for his sake, shall find it. It seems like it's backwards. So you might ask, what do you mean, find it? What was my life lost? Yeah. That's actually the terminology the Bible says. We're lost in our sin. You see? It's precisely what the Lord is telling us here. With my will in charge of my life, I haven't even begun. Can I say this to you this morning? And I want to say it in a way that makes sense to you. I haven't even, with me being in charge of my life, I haven't even begun to experience what God has in store for me right here. I'm telling you, folks. I'm telling you, I've experienced enough of the world and thinking that, you know, I've got this by the time, but I'm not happy with it. There's something else, and I didn't think it was Jesus because I thought I already know about God and stuff. But when I met the Savior, really met Him and understood what He was saying, is surrendering my life and trusting His will, it was all the things that was missing about peace. Well, I can have peace without, I have peace without Jesus Christ. You have a piece of peace. It's nothing like what you can have with Him. Nothing like what you can have with Him. When I surrender to follow His will, life here on earth, as well as all eternity, begins. That's where it really begins. So number four, the sorrow of our sin. Turn with me over to Matthew 17:22. I'm right there here already. Matthew 17:22. And while they abode in Galilee, Jesus said unto them, the Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men, and they shall kill Him. And the third day He shall be raised again. And they were exceeding sorry. So the first time the Lord spoke of this, Peter attempted to rebuke the Lord. At least here he learned his lesson. I ain't doing that again. I'm going to be called out as Satan, right? I mean, there's one thing to get called out by the preacher. By the way, I don't call out people, but there's one thing to get called out by a friend or by the preacher. There's another thing to get called out by the Savior. Because I could be wrong. He ain't. And Peter's like, I ain't doing that again, right? At least it seems that way. But the reality of this proposal that Jesus was going to be killed was terrible. It brought great sorrow upon the believers here. Why would Jesus have to die? I mean, He was literally the greatest person who ever walked on the face of this earth. He healed the lame. He made the blind to see. He cast out demons. He raised the dead. Why would He have to die? Can't we do somebody? Let's let Judas do it. Can't we put anybody else up there? You know what I'm saying? Why did He have to die? Well, here's really the secret to all that is He didn't have to die. He chose to. Turn with me over to the Gospel of John. We got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and then John chapter 10. I want you to just see here. We're not flipping all over today in the Bible, but I want us to see that what we're talking about isn't what we make up, it's what the Word of God has to say. John chapter 10 and verse 17, he says, therefore, I'll let you get there, John 10:17. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. Verse 18, he says this, no man taketh it from me, But I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment I have received of my Father. Listen, what made the disciples exceedingly sorrow was the loss of Jesus, the Master, the Savior, from their presence. He's going to be gone. They enjoyed Him being in the presence with them. And, I mean, wouldn't you? I mean, talking about not being afraid of anything. I mean, they were afraid of the wind and the seas. This wind and sea was terrible. Lord, we're going to die, they said to Him. We're going to die. And He gets up and said, why do y'all fear so? He just, peace be still. And they're like, oh, wow. Could you kind of just, like, my dad could beat up your dad. You know what I'm saying? I mean, just kind of like all of a sudden there's this, could you just, wow. Even the winds and the seas obeyed Him. There was just something different about Him, but they still didn't quite get the whole thing. It's amazing. It's amazing. And so now they're realizing, He's saying, I'm going to die. I'm not going to be here with you forever. This isn't going to be what you think it's going to be. They were sorrow. There was sorrow that He was going to leave. But this was what was needed. It was the only way for Him to pay for the sins of man. It was it. It was the only way. None other was worthy. No one else in all of eternity, in all of existence, could do this. Revelation 5 tells, we're not going to turn there this morning, but it tells us about the only one that was worthy. They looked through all of heaven and earth, and He was the only one. The exceeding sorrow is that He had to come and be killed because of our sin. You know, sometimes it gets to be, I don't know if you've ever done something really stupid, probably. But we've done something really stupid, and it costs somebody else hurt. You know, when I do something stupid and it costs me hurt, I get cuts and you're like, that was stupid, don't do that again. But when you do something stupid and it hurts somebody else, and sometimes it hurts them real bad, there's an exceeding sorrow that comes. And you know, no doubt there was a place there that they've coming to the realization of what was happening. But imagine for the Lord going into a situation knowing pain. You know the torment and the horror that would be realized unto you. Reasoning, no matter the pleading, no matter the power of the Lord revealed, His life was going to be taken at the hands of evil men. Yet He came anyway. His whole life He knew that was going to happen. He came anyway. So number 5, it's time. Back in Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20, verse 17. We find now the third time He's telling the apostles. Matthew 20, verse 17. He says, and Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples apart in the way and said unto them, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn Him to death, and shall deliver Him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify Him, and the third day He shall rise again. You know, sometimes we become so overwhelmed, sorrow and grief, that we lose sight of what God's doing. What we remember today is actually a miserable point. It's a miserable point in the history of humanity. The day that man killed the very Son of God. You know, religions from around the world, we spent a lot of years over in Sri Lanka, Buddhist, Hindu nation, and they think of gods in a different way. They have such a multiplicity of gods. When they think of, and we try to share the gospel with them, and they think of the fact that why would a god be able to be killed by man? He seems inferior. It's a hard, difficult thing for them to understand, and because they see gods as different. They also see gods that you can trap into a mask and use their power. So there's a lot of weird things that goes on there too. But I'm just saying, when they realize this, that why did this have to happen? It's a miserable, miserable time in the point of human history that we would kill the Son of God. Taken by the chief priests and the elders of the people to find fault of him is what was happening. Look at Matthew 26 now. Now we find him here. He's in the captivity of them. And in chapter 26, down in verse 59, he says, "Now the chief priests and the elders and all the council sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death." Matthew 26, verse 59. "Now the chief priests and elders and all the council sought witness against Jesus to put him to death." So listen, if I go too fast for you, just do that. When a preacher hears that, he's like, "Okay, I got to slow down." That's what that means. That's the international language for slow down, preacher. So they were looking to try to find somebody to give some kind of witness to say, he's done something wrong that we could, but they couldn't find anyone. And in verse 60, but found none. "Yea, though many false witnesses came, yet found they none. At the last came two false witnesses." This most miserable day was necessary. It was needed. It was needed for you and for me. This day, miserable day that humanity would kill the very Son of God. It was necessary for you and me. Verse 61. "And said, this fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days. And the high priest arose and said unto him, Answerest thou nothing? What is it that these witness against thee? But Jesus held his peace, and the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God that thou tellest whether thou be the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus saith unto him, Thou hast said. Nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven." Listen, this sacrifice for sin became our opportunity for heaven. And so the death was completed at the cross at Calvary. It was completed. It was needed. It was necessary. It was completed. And as he said, every time he spoke of the death, every time Jesus spoke of it, he said, what's going to happen is we're going to come. I'm going to come. We're going to go in there. They're going to take me. They're going to crucify me. But then he said, every time he said it was going to happen, he didn't always say, he said they're going to kill me. But then he said, 3 days later, I'm going to rise again. Amen. You know, even when he's saying this terrible thing is going to happen, but don't worry, because 3 days later, this is going to happen. And so we find then on the first day of the week, Matthew 28. Matthew chapter 28, one page over there, across the page from you. Matthew 28, verse 1, it says, "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. The angel of the Lord answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He's not here. For he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. Fear not, my friends. Fear not." Listen, our Savior is not in that grave. Amen? He's not in there. He is risen just like he said he would do. Isn't that amazing? You know, there's a lot of things that somebody might say they can do, but when they do what they say, changes things, doesn't it? Just like they said. Look at verse 9 now. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. So number 6, the last thing here, we're just about done. Be not afraid. Be not afraid. That's the Lord's message to us today. He says this, if you'll come after me, there's a wonderful choice. Yet it's a decision that we all must make. He said this way. He said, listen, if you come after me, he gives us a choice. It's the if. It's the if-then statement, right? Those who are familiar with that. Those that know it are strange like me, I guess. So, others are like, what's he talking about? It doesn't matter. He says this. It's a condition. If you will... if you do this, now you get to choice. Before his death, we didn't even get to make a choice. But now the choice is made. And he said, if any man will come after me, there's a wonderful choice, yet it's a choice. It's a decision that we all must make. It's coming to the one that had victory over death and the grave. He said, I have the power to lay my life down, and I have the power to raise it up again. Wow. You know who else can say that? Think about it. No. No one. He said, I have the power. And he said this, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Right? Listen. And he said this. He says, I give unto them eternal life. So the power that he said I have, and he showed that he did, he actually is saying, I can give it to you, and I will give it to you if you come and follow me. It really is this, deny yourself. You will not find the peace of God and reconciliation with the holy God from what's inside you. Folks, the same way, I didn't find it with what was inside me. Can I tell you, I tried. I looked to try to be a better man. If I could be a better man, I could be, and I couldn't find it there. It's not there. Doesn't exist. He said this, take up the cross. Take up his cross. Really, folks, it means this. Really just means this, identify with him. He said in Matthew 10:32, you don't need to turn there. I'm going to just quote it here. It said, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I also before my Father which is in heaven. He said, listen, when you identify with me, when you confess me before men, it's going to be a little challenge. I can remember when I called my wife, I said, hey, I got saved. She said, what do you mean you got saved? I thought you were already saved. I thought, well, I thought I did too. I didn't know what saved. I don't think I even knew the word saved, honestly. I just knew I'm churchy Christian now. Before I wasn't. Now I got saved. I realized what that meant. She was kind of mad at me there. I'm like, what do you mean when you got saved? I thought, I don't know, but I am now. Amen. And he said this, you know, and listen, there's some people that you're going to go and tell, and they're going to be like, what's wrong with you? Some people you're going to not want to tell. You were more fun before you got saved. Tell spouses, tell family, tell friends, tell children, parents. He said, whosoever shall confess me before men, I'll confess him before my Father. I'm going to tell you, when I'm standing before God the Father, me alone, just little old me, I'm going to be in trouble. But if I've trusted Christ as my Savior, I've received Him as my Savior. And He's there. And Jesus is going to say, He's with me. Woo! That's going to be... can you imagine? I don't think I'm even going to feel like a little empty because He's going to be... He's with me. I don't know what that whole picture is going to look like up there. But I imagine it's going to be something to be some chills kind of happening. You know, just something like that. Then He finally said this. He said, follow me. Folks, we're just about done here. I just want to ask a couple questions. Have you? He said, who do the people say that I am? And then he gets down to this and said, who do you say I am? Here's the first question as we close. Have you truly followed Christ? I don't mean became religious. I don't mean, I believe some stuff. I mean, listen, if I believe something, it causes me to do something, right? Believing isn't like something I stick in my pocket. Yeah, I got a believe card. See? I got baptized. I got my certificate here. Matter of fact, I got two or three of them because something different things happen. I got a certificate of membership. I got a certificate of this. I had somebody call me up one day and said, hey, preacher, is my baptism still good? good for what? I don't know what you're... You know, listen, to follow Christ isn't about something that I did. It's about something that I now am. He gave his life willingly to give you the opportunity to follow him willingly. So the challenge today is this. Will you follow Jesus Christ as your Savior today? Let's all stand together.